Turn with me this morning to the 45th chapter of the book of Isaiah. I was thinking this week about how that the whole scripture is given unto us is wrapped around two things. One, the people of God and the people's God. From the very beginning, God decided, if that's a good term, to save a people for His name's sake.
Amen.
And call them out. And everything in this scripture is wrapped around that one thing.
Right.
I don't care where you go. It's about who God is and who His people are. Mm. The called according to God. I'd like to read here a few verses beginning in verse 10. It said, "Woe unto him that saith unto his father, What begettest thou? Or to the woman, What hast thou brought forth?" Mm-hmm. That's what we were just talking about. It's all for one thing. Of course, this is questioning God here. But it's all for one thing. For the people of God, that they might worship Him in truth and in spirit, and be one holy nation. Yeah. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and His Maker. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. This is what the Lord would have the people to do, is look into His prophecy or His word and see what their end is.
Right.
Where one said it's always the same thing, it ends in misery and in destruction. The other, though, it is unto salvation, which is by Jesus Christ. So I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. And he shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Now in the beginning, in the first verse, he talks about anointing Cyrus. But this reads more of the Lord Jesus Christ himself than Cyrus. And that's what we're seeing here, is the Lord himself. And that's what I was saying earlier, all the scripture, I don't care where you go, it's pointing to mainly one thing.
Yeah.
That's our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's always in the middle of everything. And that's what it's talking about here. Not Cyrus. The commentators can go off on a tangent and write four pages about what this meant for Cyrus to come. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to be the Savior. He's the one to open the gate.
Right.
I've made earth. He done all these things. I've raised him up in righteousness. Now I have a little problem here with Cyrus. He couldn't have been talking about Cyrus. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city. And he shall let go of my captives, not for price or reward, saith the Lord of hosts.
Right.
Why? Because it belongs to him.
Amen.
Already. wasn't any reward in this activity. It was set in stone in the very beginning. And it said, thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine, and they shall come after thee. After Cyrus? No, after the Lord, and after his church, right, after his people. That's where they're going to come and congregate. In chains they shall come over. They bound up when they come. But listen, they're going to be set free. That's the whole thing. And they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, unto the Lord, and unto his church. Yeah. Saying, surely God is in thee. It's going to be a visible thing. And from the very beginning, Paul had been over, we've been in the book of Genesis in a study, and it's unfolding there already in the very, very beginning.
Right.
This was so. If he was going to call out a people, and we see it unfold all the way, and it all comes down to one consummation, that's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first time and the second.
Right.
It's going to unfold the whole scripture from the very beginning. That's what's so mysterious, is that everything is working to one purpose. All things work together to good to them who are the called. So it all is of one purpose and one calling. But they're going to all come unto the church. Surely God is in thee.
Amen.
And there is none else. There is no back put other God here. Verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. By the way, it doesn't have to be some wood that they've hewn out or some gold piece that they've created. It's a bad heart. That's their idol. He said, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord. And then we read in the New Testament, and all Israel shall be saved. That's what he's talking about here. He has said the same thing. And all Israel shall be saved. You know, that's such a problem today with most people. They want to put it in the last days and stuff like that and say, well, that's what he's talking about. Not so. But, and all Israel. It's talking about that Israel that's been unfolding ever since the very first verse of the book of Genesis.
Right.
It's been unfolding ever since. All the way. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. It's a perpetual saving. It is always at work. Not only with the bringing in of the rest of the people that should be added unto the church, but the saving of those that are in the church already. It's perpetual.
Right.
It's always active.
Right.
Always working. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited.
Yes.
Go out and inhabit the earth, and then go out and replenish the earth. is made to be inhabited. Why? He said, I am the Lord and there is none else. This is the decree that has gone forth. And the decree is, and all Israel shall be saved. In the book of Jeremiah, the 7th chapter, verse 2 here, in verse 13, he said, Now because we have done all these works, saith the Lord, I spake unto you rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not. And I called you, but ye answered not. Now he's talking about the old Israel here. They didn't hear. The new Israel has heard. That's the unfolding of things. He spoke it to old Israel. He delivered the word to them first. I don't know why people have such a problem with election either. If you look, that's simply all you have to look at is he chose Israel.
Yeah.
And not the old Israel of old necessarily. He did deliver the word to them, but the people were not all saved. But all Israel shall be saved.
Right.
That's really confusing to most people today. And I called you, but you answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I give to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. He took the peace away from there. Not there. It is in the people, but not in that place. And he said, and I will cast you out of my sight, and as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore pray not thou for this people. Isn't that an amazing thing? He has cut them off to the extent he don't want prayer for them. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. So old Israel is left alone, abandoned. There's no peace in it. But there is in the Israel of God.
Amen.
In the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. The new Israel. The Israel of God. Said, seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood and the fathers kindle a fire and the women knead their dough. And they're all involved in this exercise of worshiping idols. From the least one to the oldest one. Their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods that they may provoke me to anger. Thinking in our kind of logic, you'd think, well, they changed the mind of God, but no, his mind had been set from the very beginning.
Amen.
They didn't provoke God into anything. They didn't do him any danger or any harm.
Right.
And they can rebel all they want to, but it won't bring any harm unto God Almighty.
Right.
Then in verse 19 he said, Do they provoke me to anger? Saith the Lord, do they not provoke themselves
right
to the confusion of their own faces? Much confusion today, especially about who Israel is. And it's a growing problem. They fight so against it. The older the ages get, the more they try to fight against what the Scripture said.
Yeah.
Give every kind of excuse under the sun and try to stay the hand of the mighty God. They think that they can provoke Him to the extent that He will turn and be good to them that are evil. But it does exactly the opposite. But it's always an unfolding of the righteousness of God that is set forth here, and the righteousness of God that is in His church. This perpetual saving of the church. 76th Psalm. And verse 1 said, in Judah is God known. His name is great in Israel. It's the only place it is known. It began unfolding way back out of Israel. And I said all the way through to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He was of that lineage where the name of the Lord was placed in the very beginning. In Salem also is His tabernacle, and His dwelling place is in Zion. That's where He resides, in His church. This is what He's talking about here now. There break He the arrows of the bow and shield and the sword and the battle.
Amen.
He said, thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. The stout-hearted are spoiled. They have slept their sleep, and none of the men of might have found their hands. At Thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse are cast into the deep sleep. Thou even now art to be feared, and who may stand in Thy sight when once Thou art angry? Thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven. He come out of His place, it said in another place, to bring judgment. And I said it's kind of like He left the throne of grace to come down. That may not fit everybody, but it seems right to me that He left that place and come out. It's be heard from heaven, the earth feared and was filled. And when God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth, surely the wrath of man shall praise Thee. The remainder of wrath shalt Thou restrain. Bow and pay unto the Lord your God. Let all that be round about Him bring presence unto Him that ought to be feared. He shall cut off the spirit of the princesses. He is terrible to the kings of the earth. Do everything we can to get away from that judgment. 46th chapter then. I think begin verse 4. He said, there's a river.
Amen.
The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God.
Yes.
This river started way back at the temple, flowing out from under the gate of the temple, and it's continuing. That's what I said, it's unfolding, but here it's in the way of a stream. It starts out a little bit thing, but it gets bigger and bigger and bigger,
yes,
and goes all the way down to the sea. There's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early.